I wrote down a couple of things here as I'm studying. Spiritual water, which is, as you know, is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, very good. So the name of your lesson is God Sees the Samaritan Woman. So you guys can tell me about the Samaritan Woman. I didn't write much in about the Samaritan Woman. I wrote more about the spiritual side of it. But what do you all want to bring out about the Samaritan Woman?
Well, these were Jews had been scattered, and they'd married into other nationalities, and of course the Jews didn't like them because they were
okay.
The Samaritan people were very hateful people.
Yeah, and they didn't get along. I guess they weren't supposed to.
No.
That was their, they were supposed to avoid one another. What else? Anything else? I mean, you can add some as we go down through. But so a lot of it talks more about what Roger mentioned about the spiritual waters or the Holy Spirit, or you can find a lot in the Bible about that. But so what most of the lesson has to do with is how we're valued by God, and he doesn't value differently. He sees everybody the same. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, he sees everybody the same. And it's because of that value, he, as Christ did with the woman at the well, it wouldn't have mattered if she was a Samaritan woman, or it wouldn't have mattered who it was. He would have sought after her, meaning sought after her salvation, because he, upon this earth, the thing that he looked for was the people that were going to join his eternal family. So that's what we're supposed to be looking at in our life today. We're not really supposed to be paying attention to whether they're Baptist or Methodist or whatever, or black or white or nationality. Or we're supposed to be looking at individuals and the potential that God gave them to become part of his eternal family, which shows the eternal value that God has in store for him. So when God looked at the woman at the well, he didn't really see her as a Samaritan woman. He just saw her as somebody that had what? A sin problem. But we all have a sin problem, and that's because we all have a sinful nature. So one of the things that God wants to do is, and this is what Christ was doing, as you read down through this story, he wanted to bring that to light. He wanted to get her to see so that she would recognize what it was in her life that she needed to do in order to repent to become part of the family of God. So when
he wasn't even going that way, to start with.
Right.
He left Judea and was going to
Galilee. It's because the disciples went into remember they were hungry?
Yes,
and he said, no, you guys go. I'll go this way and we'll catch up later. So this is what Christ, he, and as you go down through and read the story, you'll see that he really didn't, her being a Samaritan woman didn't really mean nothing to him. It was what he was looking at was what was on the inside. So Christ understood, and we're supposed to understand that when we look at one another, we kind of think we see things just as they exist, but that's not how God created man. God created man to become to belong to Him, to live for Him, to live in the fullness of a relationship with Him, to accept the saving grace. And that's what God wants us to see in other people. And not the things that we, when we look at other people, a lot of times we automatically begin to judge who they are by what they are, by what they're doing. And Christ didn't do that, and we're not supposed to do that either. So we have to understand that the purpose that for us on this earth is to accept Christ, because until we accept Christ, until we come out of that, away from that sinfulness in our life and get our new life in Christ, that's what defines who we are. What you do now does not, when people see you, they look at you and say, well, here's what you are. They're defining you by what they see. But that's not what God looks at. So that doesn't really define what you are or who you are. But you don't know that until you accept that saving grace. Until you become a believer, then God's able to allow His work within us to define who we truly are in Him. He's able to identify with us now. So, and when we do this, then we know everything in our life begins to change. Our perspective, how we look at things, how we look at one another, this all begins to change, because now we're being encouraged through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And what we want to do is we want to be obedient and share the truth of God's Word. If you remember when Claire at the end of your story today, then it said she left because now she was going to go tell people what happened to her, the good things that happened to her. So she became an example of what God had intended for her to be all along. She became an example of that. And the reason she did is because somebody, which in this case was Christ, was able to sit down and look past everything worldly about her and see who God really wanted her to be. So that's what we have to do in our life today. Everybody is designed to receive something from God, and it is instilled within us. We just need somebody to be able to look past all the other stuff and see that and help bring that to light so that we'll become what it is that God truly wants us to be in our life. So a lot of people never make it to that point in their life, but this is where God wants us to be. And this all started clear back in the beginning. So if you jump back in Isaiah chapter 55, he talks about this same thing. So a lot of people say, "Well, this is when Christ done it." No, Christ, he knew this from back a long time ago, because in Isaiah chapter 55, starting with verse 1, he says, "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye what? To the waters." He said, you don't have to have any money, you don't have to buy anything, but he says, come and without money and without price. So he said, and then he asked the question. He said, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" Or you put all your time and effort into the things of the world, which are things that are temporary. He said, "You labor for that which satisfieth not." So he said, "Hearken diligently unto me, eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in the fatness thereof," meaning the Word of God, the things that God has in store for us. So he says, "Incline your ear, come unto me, hear," or listen, "your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." So he was talking to the children of Israel. Of course, this passes right on down to us today. So what he wanted us to see or to understand, it's we have that tendency because we were born into this sin nature. We have that tendency, he says here, to spend our money on things that doesn't satisfy us. And what he means by that is it's not really physically spending your money on, even though we do spend our money on things that, things that we want that doesn't really amount to anything. But he's talking about our life. We put so much into things in our life that doesn't really mean anything. They're things that have no eternal value. If they have no eternal value, then they you might think that it's satisfying, but just in a short period of time, we're looking for something else because that didn't satisfy us or didn't satisfy us enough. So he asked the question here in this Isaiah the prophet did. He said, why are you pursuing things that are just temporary? Things that are just pleasures that never will nourish the soul. And he says, you can't satisfy yourself with these worldly temporary things. He tells them. And of course, the children of Israel already knew this. We already know that, but every day we still try to satisfy ourselves with these temporary things, with these worldly temporary things. So when this happens, then he says there's a need that arises within your soul. And he said that need has to be pointed out. If it's not pointed out, then you're going to keep trying to satisfy yourself with things of the world. But once God shows us that need, and he shows us why that need arises, then we'll begin to see that the things of the world can't provide for the need that we have. So now we got to look to something else. We got to look to God. So it's only through God's grace and his mercy. And he says, my stuff won't cost you anything. He said, the world, that's going to cost you something. Every time that everything sinful in our life cost us something. It might cost you some of your life here on this earth. Your lifespan might be shortened. It might cost you. There's a lot of things that it could cost us. So, but God's grace and mercy doesn't cost us anything because it's free. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual fulfillment. It can only enhance our life. It never takes anything away from our life. So we have to see that need, that to accept this invitation that God gives unto us. And with this, he said, will come a fulfillment that is a joy that'll come through your salvation. And it's something that not will you just experience now, but you will experience now and forevermore. And this is what he wants us to experience in our life. So if you just jump right on down in chapter 55 to verse 6, here's what he says. He says, seek ye the Lord what? While he may be found, call upon him while he is near. So there's always been, from the beginning of time, there's always been an urgency for people to understand and accept repentance. Because our time here upon this earth is short and will not always have that opportunity. That means our opportunity to accept the Lord and to do the things that God has in store for us to do, that opportunity is a limited opportunity. One day, God will no longer be near or be able to be found by us. And that might be because we're not here any longer. So this is what he's talking about. So he gives, when he says this, he gives us this window of opportunity to repent. And in this verse of scripture, he not only gives you a command, but he gives you a promise. So he says, seek ye the Lord. That's the command. Seek after the Lord. The promise is, if you seek after the Lord, you'll be found. And so he gives you both in this passage of Scripture. A command to seek after him, and a promise that if you do seek after him, then you will be found. So it's something that's very important in our life. Now, if you go over into 2 Corinthians.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
I'm waiting for you to take a breath.
Oh.
So when you say this need is supposed to be pointed out, are you saying God needs to point that need?
God points it out.
Well, are you talking about Christians or not Christians?
What do you mean?
Believers or not believers?
Both.
So do you think a non-believer is going to pay any attention to God?
Well, the Samaritan woman was a non-believer, and she paid attention to Christ.
But she, before she cut to reality, she gained understanding.
Yes. So God will point the need out to... You wouldn't have been saved if God hadn't appointed the need out to you.
He hadn't got your attention.
Here's something that here to feel. I caught by. He is near. Now, if he takes away this breath of air from all of us, we're done.
Yeah, he's not near anymore because you're not here anymore. Yeah, that's why I say the opportunity is a short opportunity.
Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
No, not really, because even Christians don't listen to God when they try to.
Right.
He tries to point out something to them.
So that's why I say he tries to point stuff out to the one who don't believe, because he needs them to see they need to be saved, and then he tries to point out stuff to the ones who have already believed, because they need to grow in their salvation and they need to understand their salvation. So he does this in many ways, but ultimately, everything that is pointed out to an unbeliever and a believer comes through the Word of God. Now, since the unbeliever probably never reads the Word of God or studies the Word of God, then it probably comes through some kind of preaching or somebody witnessing, but it comes through the Word of God, because it comes through Christ Himself. That's why Christ was the one pointing out to the Samaritan woman, because Christ is God and He is the Word of God. So her salvation came through the Word of God. Over in John it says what? In the beginning was what? The Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, which was Christ. So everybody's need is pointed out at some time or another. Now, you or I, if we just went to somebody and started pointing their need out, they're probably not going to pay attention to it, because that's not the way God works. All right? He might lead you to witness to somebody, and He might lead you to witness to somebody through the Word of God, but He's probably not going to send you to start pointing out somebody's faults or their needs. But He's going to lead you in a way that you're going to use the Word of God, that they're somehow going to see the need for salvation in their life. Or with the believer, they're somehow going to see the need to mature spiritually in their life.
Well, if you're a believer, you'll have the Holy Spirit working through you. And
right.
And too, with even the believer or unbeliever.
Sure. Yeah, Christ, we'll get to the scripture here in a minute, and you'll see how He pointed the need out, but He didn't. He first started talking to her to get her interest. What did He talk to her about? She was coming to get water, so naturally it's what He talked to her about. In some of His other travels, when he talked to fishermen, He talked to them first what? About fishing. When He talked to people that herded sheep, He first talked to them about their profession. He talked to them about something that they knew something about, and then through that was able to allow them to see the need for more in their life. So in 2 Corinthians, did that help any? Okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul, he kind of tried to explain this the same way to the Corinthian church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I said chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, he said, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold what? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. giving no offense in anything, that the ministry would not be blamed. So he tried to tell them in a way that didn't turn them away from the gospel or the word of God, that the opportunity to come to salvation or come to know the Lord will not last forever. That opportunity will not last forever. So, and he tried to explain to them, as Christ did to the Samaritan woman, God is always willing and he's always ready to show his grace and his mercy. Even though it's a limited time of opportunity, God's always willing. We have to be willing to see it and to accept.
Yeah. Al, that goes all the way back to the...
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And he heard it for 40 years.
Yeah.
And they still... Only two of them made it. Only two of the original made it. So,
and it's still today. How many's going to make it?
Yeah. So we'll read a few verses in your lesson in John chapter 4. It starts with verse 5. He said, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." So you see, everything that happened was in a short, was in a small area over there, just different time. So then that's why he pointed out, because, you know, Jacob and his sons in the wells was many, many years before that. So he said, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, 'How is it that thou, being a Jew?'" So see, she kind of brought the need up to herself. Christ didn't say anything about that. She's the one that said, "Well, I'm a woman of Samaria, you're a Jew, what are you doing asking me for a drink?" So he didn't have to bring it up. She'd done it. So this, you can see how the Holy Spirit works around people, that God prepares the heart. So he said, "For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." So he said, "Jesus answered and said unto her," so see, this offered up an opportunity. She's the one that brought it up. She's the one that asked the question. This opened up a window of opportunity for Christ to be able to explain to her what her need truly was. So he said,
she was there by herself too at that hour, not of a morning, right, but all the other women
now,
was there.
Something else, is she?
Yes.
Yeah, God doesn't, he opened her mind up to recognize who Jesus was.
Yes.
I mean, he does things for
mystery. Yeah. So he said, "Jesus answered and said unto her, 'If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.'" So we're getting away from the materialistic, and now we're at the spiritual part of it. So God all along intended for this woman to see what the free gift of salvation was all about, and he intended for her to understand that it didn't matter who she was, what she was, what she had done, it's offered to everybody and not just certain people. So, and
Living water, the Jews considered living water be like mountain water or something that they could better than well water.
Yeah. So the woman now began to, a little bit, begin to recognize her need. So now Christ needed to get her to take the initiative. And he did so, and she did when she asked the question, you know, why are you offering me this water? That was the initiative, and then that opened up the window for Christ to be able to explain to her why she needed this water. So So we can see how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit, it equips people, it empowers people, it inspires people through the Word of God. And so what he's trying to do is get us to follow after the truth of what his understanding is. So we have to do that. If you go over into the book of Romans chapter 10, it tells you that when we begin to, by faith, to believe the truth, then we begin to gain the understanding to see what our need is in our life. So Christ was actually offering the woman himself, because that's who he was. And that's why when you get on over here, we'll read in a minute, where it talks about this that springs up within us into eternal life. That's because the life came from Christ himself. That's the eternal life. So he was telling her to believe in me, or to believe in God who sent me. Then that's where you're going to start finding your satisfaction. The water that came out of the ground there, that's just a temporary. We all drink water. If we don't, we get thirsty, we get dehydrated, we get sick. But that's just a temporary, because what you drink today isn't going to sustain you tomorrow. So that pictures the world. What you have in the world today isn't going to sustain you tomorrow. So tomorrow, now we're looking for more of the world. But spiritually, when we accept God's mercy and his grace, then that's something that will sustain us eternally. And what we do is now God adds to that every day, so that we might be able to mature in that and continue to grow in that in our life. So if you jump on over into the 11th chapter of John, because we're already in John. If you jump on over into the 11th chapter, verses 25 and 26, here's what he says. Jesus said unto her, and he's talking to Martha now, not the woman at the well. He said unto Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asked Martha, he said, do you believe this? I'm telling you this. Do you believe it? So just like he was with the woman at the well, then now he's asking the woman at the well, is this something you believe? Is this something you want to believe? And we're going to find out that it ended up being something that she did believe. So he tries to get us to, as we see the need, then he wants to experience his resurrection from sin, meaning he wants us to experience that the life that he gives us, that then death will no longer have any power over us, meaning being separated from God. Everybody's still probably going to die physically one of these days, but we're not talking about the physical death, because to die physically means we're just going to be on to be with the Lord if we've accepted the Lord in our life. So, but we're talking about that being separated from God for all of eternity. So this is what he was trying to tell her. When we put our faith, when we put our trust, when we put all these things in God through his grace and his mercy, then now we no longer have to worry about that, because now we have a relationship with the one who is eternal. Where in the world, we only had a relationship with something that was temporary. So he's getting her now to understand your relationship is changing. Not that you're still going to have to come to this well and get water every day, because that's going to sustain your physical life. But he said, I want to give you something that will sustain you spiritually, that you'll have within you, and the only place you have to look for it is that is within you, which would be that indwelling Holy Spirit for us today.
Now, I wondered if when she said this to everybody, I wondered if it was just the Samaritan.
No, but probably since the town and it was in Samaria, it was probably mostly, there probably wasn't any Jewish people living there. So if Samaritan people would be considered Gentile people, so it was probably mostly Gentile people that were living there. So in verse 11 it said, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water?" And he said, then, so she's confused, but she knows the story about the well. And she says, "Are you greater than your father Jacob, which gave us the well, and he drank from it, his children, his cattle?" And Jesus answered her, saying, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." So now he's trying to explain to her the difference between the physical and the spiritual. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." So this tells you about your salvation. Once you've accepted that, then that is what takes you into your eternal life or your everlasting life. So the woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." So she's starting to understand, but she still didn't completely understand yet, because she's still thinking, she's looking at it now spiritually, but she's still thinking materialistically. So she said, Jesus said to her, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." And of course, he says here, he said, the woman said, "Well, I have no husband." And of course, Christ said, "I know that. You don't have one now." He said, "But you've had five." So he was helping her to understand a little bit. So he said, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." And then he said that she left her water pot and went her way and saith to the man, "Come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did." And she now understood that, yes, this is Christ. So she began to understand that what a personal relationship with the Lord meant. And that's what God wanted her to see. He wanted her to see that didn't matter what kind of relationship she had with whoever in the world, it's not the same as our relationship with God. And our relationships in the world are temporary relationships, but our relationship with God is an eternal relationship, and it's one that we can share with others, and it will give hope to them as well. It's not just a hope for you, and it's not just a hope for me, but it's a hope for everybody that gets to share in the experience of that. So Christ gives us an invitation. We accept that invitation. He reveals unto us anything and everything that we need to know to convince us that our relationship in the world is not a relationship worth having, but our relationship, if we accept the relationship with Him, then it's a divine relationship, and that's the relationship that He wants us to have. So through whatever means necessary, then He shows us the need, and then once we accept and see that need and accept that relationship, then He begins to show us the effectiveness of that relationship. See, some people accept the relationship but never see the effectiveness of it. That's God wants us to see, not just the relationship and what it's done for us, but He wants us to see how effective that relationship is in our life, and not just in our life, but also what we can do to see the effectiveness of that in other people's lives as well.
And that,
everything comes through and by the Word of God.
Just as well, where she knew something a little bit about physical water, and it started up to all this other, and then she finally caught on to stuff. We expect them to dive right into the Bible and put two and two together, because I can't even do that yet.
Right.
anyway, so they need to start out with something simple so God can, you know, give them what he wants them to have out of it and then build on up. And
right.
Well, that's where you need to get in a church that teaches, you know, teaches the Word of God and not their opinion.
It's very important to Sunday school, Bible study, those things that most people never go to are probably more important than
your preaching.
than what they do go to. Well, I tell people that all the time. I'd rather you come to Sunday school or Bible study and not make it to preaching, because you'll learn more. That's where God shows us our need to want to know more. So Bible study is really good when a lot of people take part.
I can't remember the guy's name, the preacher, so don't tell him.
Uh-huh.
I listen to him. He's wisdom a lot.
Yeah.
It really takes deep into.
Yeah, because we need that in our life to grow and to mature and to understand. We need the Word of God. So for the churches that never... You know, the praise and worship's fine, and the music's fine, and this is fine. But if that's all you do, you're probably never going to grow or mature in your life in Christ, because you're going to the well, but like the Samaritan woman, you're going to the wrong well. you're still, like she said, I'll still have to come back here every day. Yeah, you will, to sustain your physical life, but you need more than that now to sustain your spiritual life, but most people don't want that.
We got to be careful outside Alamite.
Yeah.